Hey, welcome to the biggest shit show in gaming podcasts. I'm your host, Em, and with me today is one co-host, Zango. The rest, unfortunately, could not make it due to sitting there wanting to break my heart. They will be sorely missed. But today, we're going to be talking about, you guessed it, spooky things, specifically spooky games, giving you the lowdown and the what for and all that good shit, whatever. We're gonna talk about spooky games. Wherever it goes, just fucking listen and enjoy it. Get what you get with this podcast. You've no say in it. So, Zango, hi.
Hello.
So.
Don't play these games aren't as scary as that intro. No, I'm just
kidding. No, it's pretty. It's the most horrifying thing I've encountered this October. It was my own intro. Jesus, I didn't write anything down. I just fucking pulled that out of my ass, like I do a lot of things. There's no expectations anymore. This is a shit show. There's no denying it. I'm just contributing to the main theme. But, Zango, hi.
Hello!
So.
Hopefully these games aren't as scary as that intro. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, no, it's pretty. It's the most horrifying thing I've encountered this October. It was my own intro. Jesus. I didn't write anything down. I just fucking pulled that out of my ass, like I do a lot of things. There's no expectations anymore. This is a shit show. There's no denying it. I'm just contributing to the main theme. But, I'm gonna start with some of the bad ones that are, like, supposed to be scary, but they're really not. Games to avoid this October. So I'd say the first one to avoid, here we go, I'm gonna get started, is this little game. It's a walkthrough game, and it's called The Park. The fucking premise of this game is great if you hate children. Like, I mean, I don't even mean, like, are scared of, you know, demonic children. I mean, like, if you genuinely hate kids. Like, it's perfect for you. Because the fucking premise of this thing is this lady is leaving an amusement park when it's closing for the day with her son. And her son fucking goes back into the park. And is like, she goes up the escalator to go find him. Like, my son went back into the closing amusement park. Child, why? And as soon as she gets to the top of the escalator, the entire fucking thing is, like, broken down and abandoned. It's like, the fuck? So you should spend the entire game, chasing the disembodied voice of your child through an amusement park. And I'm like, bruh, I would have gotten, like, to one or two sections of the park and been like, sayonara, kid, have fun starving to death. Maybe this will teach you not to do stupid shit. Like, I'm out. Bye-bye. And they have, like, these papers that tell you, like, the story of how the amusement park was haunted. Like, it was built on an ancient Indian burial ground or something like that. And there's, like, a squirrel suit for, like, the mascot of the park, where supposedly people who wear the suit end up, you know, just never leaving the suit and, like, becoming the squirrel guy. So you keep seeing this squirrel motherfucker in the park. It's like, are you fucking joking me? A guy in a squirrel costume? And then it just takes a hard left into, like, Layers of Fear, but, you know, the Walmart generic brand version of it where you're tripping out on shit. And then, like, the climax of the game. I'm doing spoiler alerts because this game is garbage. Like, I want the 2 hours of my life back that I spent playing it. I do. Like, that is 2 hours of my life I could have spent doing literally anything else. I wish I would have done that literally anything else. But it gets to the point where it's, I guess, like, she kills her kid or something because she's, like, got depression. And, like, her medication made her do it or something. And I'm like, it's fucking Zoloft, bitch. Are you serious? Like, for real? Like, how many people have gone crazy and murdered children on Zoloft? For real. Like, seriously? Like,
Well, at the rate my doctor likes prescribing things, probably more than one.
It's like, holy shit. There's just, it's just so badly done. Like, you get to the end and it's like, yes, I'm confronting the demonic entity who's riding on a roller coaster with me and we're having a conversation. It's like, so you're in an abandoned amusement park and your kid's running away from you and you stop to ride the rides? What the fuck? What? How does this make sense? Ow. Then you end up back in your own house and you're just going in circles, and with each circle your house gets, like, progressively more, like, dilapidated and abandoned until you finally reach the fridge and they're like, oh god, all the only thing in my fridge is wine. I'm like, oh look, it's me in my 20s. And then you find out that she's fucking, her medication made her do it. And I guess she kills somebody with a pair of scissors that's not her kid. Like, the ending is really unclear. I don't know if I stopped paying attention or if it was just a really unclear, bad ending. That's probably the former. I probably just stopped caring and paying attention at that point.
Even the description makes me not want to play it, so...
It's fucking terrible. Like, I mean, if you want cheap jump scares and non-commitment walkthrough and don't give a shit about a storyline, go for it. It's got some good jump scares. But if you want, like, a horror game you're gonna enjoy, don't fucking do it. It's not worth it. It is so not worth it. But... So that's my first. This game is shit. This horror game let me down like every member of every group project I've been a part of. What's yours? What's the scary game that you've played that's like, it was a complete and utter disappointment?
Shit. What's that one, that multiplayer one? The name is escaping me at the moment.
Dead by Daylight?
Yeah, that one. Because, like, you play against someone who's, like, I don't know, has no life and no job and only that game and that's it. Like, they must be in, like, prison solitary confinement with only that game and they're the killer. And it's just...
Oh, my God, every time.
Yeah.
Every time. It's not even scary. It's just, like, tedious. It's fun with friends. Like, it's not scary, though. It's not. We did Amnesia, didn't we? We started Amnesia. We started both Amnesia and A Machine for Pigs together, like the original. The Dark Below. No, it's not The Dark Below. That's a Destiny thing. The Dark Descent.
Damn it!
We did both of the, we started both of those together. What did you think of, like, the beginning of each of those games?
It was alright. It had jump scares, but I guess... It's kind of messed up to say from someone of my generation, but for someone that grew up on Crash Bandicoot and Spyro the Dragon, I am a whore for good graphics.
Oh, the graphics in those games are fucking terrible.
And I know, like, watching certain big video game players of horror games, Markiplier, you know, some certain games are graphically low in order to add to the horror. And then, I don't know, it just doesn't do that for me. So, I mean,
it's
fun to play with you. You know, I love gaming with anybody, but those games are just, it was difficult. It was probably not something I would do again unless it was someone like you or another person that I'm friends with that I was playing it.
Every time I get on those games, it's like I'm going cross-eyed for the first 10 minutes before my eyes adjust. Like, I don't know what they did to the graphics, but it's like when you put on glasses that are the wrong prescription, but only like slightly, so everything just looks fucking off, and you're like, it's just weird, blurry bullshit. Like, the stories I thought were good, the graphics were literal shit. Like, I plowed through A Machine for Pigs. Like, I muscled my way through that because I liked the story, and I was like, I want to know what's happening. Like, I'm curious. Who broke this machine? You know, who am I? I need to find things out. What happened to my kids? And then the story took a hard left into, like, weird shit, like pig man mutants that are electrically charged. I was like, the fuck is this? All right, somebody clearly, like, didn't anticipate you making it this far in the game. It was like, fuck it. We're gonna throw in more weird shit. It just got progressively weirder. Like, it was a test to see how long it could go. I still liked it, though. But the beginning was definitely the best part. Then it just got weird.
Was it code for, like, Ultimate Free Games on PlayStation Network, but no one's ever made it that far?
Basically, it was like, it's like, we made a third one, but, I didn't really think that anybody was really going to play it. I haven't finished the first one. I finished the second one. Justine, it's supposed to be a horror game, but really the only scary part is the fact that you have to start over when you die. That's the scary part. Like, fuck, I gotta do this all over again? That's about it. Other than that, it's not scary. But the first one, I guess, was I don't know, like, there's only one scary part for me in that, and that's when you're, like, in the water, and you have to, like, if you get in the water, the thing, like, kills you, so you have to jump from, like, crate to crate. And that was only scary because you, like, have two hits and you're dead. And you have to throw severed body parts to distract it. I was like, what the fuck is this? This isn't scary anymore, this is just fucked up. Like, whose body parts are these? Like, what happened down here? There's just spare, dismembered body parts for me to throw at some invisible horror in this, like, in the fucking sewer system. What is this? I mean, those games are, like, they have a good creepy atmosphere or whatever, but don't, like, stop to think about them. Because once you do, you're like, what the fuck is going on? I think their next game, Soma was good. They really got their shit together with Soma. There wasn't much what the fuck factor with Soma. So that was good. The graphics are still shit. Like, literal shit. The graphics are awful. But the story is really, really great. And it's not as weird as the other ones. The other ones are super fucking... I don't know who wrote them. But they had to be on some kind of drug. Something.
So... I typically don't play horror games, so I think the best scare moment that I ever had came out of a game that wasn't intended to be scary, but it did it so well that it stuck with me to this day now. I don't know, have you ever played any of the Metal Gear Solid series? Hello?
What? Really? You've never played them?
No, I have. I'm asking if you have.
Oh, okay. The only ones that I've played is that one I did, like, part of it with you in the party with me. That's my entire experience with Metal Gear. Actually, I lied. I've watched the ending of another one where, like, that little chick is, like, in her underwear and a giant robot. I've watched somebody play that part. I was confused. I didn't know what the fuck was going on. But I do remember this, like, skinny chick in her underwear and giant robot, because I was asking so many questions. I had so many questions and wanted none of them answered.
So this game came out in 1998. To give you perspective, I was 12, so, like, 1998, we're talking 30 years ago. Yeah. So, and it stuck with me to this. So in the game, now we're talking PlayStation 1.
God.
There's a boss called Mantis, and his nanomachine power is to supposedly read minds. One of the things in the game, you have your controller corded at this time, in case any of you youngsters don't realize that. There was one time where you had to have it corded. So, you have it plugged into the player one slot, and he starts messing with the controller. So up is down, down is up, like nothing's working. To beat him, you unplug the controller from player one slot and plug it into the player two slot.
Oh, that's genius.
And all of a sudden he's like, huh? I can't read your moves. How are you beating me? It's just this genius of Hideo Kojima, like my
life hack. I mean, what?
It was just so unbelievable, and it like freaked you out because it was just like a mind trip, because you didn't, and like that freaked me out. Just like the whole aura, and you know, the graphics weren't great, but I mean, they were great for the time, so you don't really
think
about it. So, but it was just really like, it was freaky, and it was just really, really good.
Like, there's some games that have like, there's a horror game that has like great promise, and you're like, oh, this is gonna be good, and then it just trips and falls on its face. Why, I had such high hopes for you. God. And for me, the one that comes to mind with that is Kolot. Like, that game I was so psyched for, because I love the Dyatlov Pass incident. I love everything about it. And for background, for people listening who don't know what the Dyatlov Pass incident is, it's where a group of college students in Russia went to go hike Dyatlov Pass in the, I think it's the Ural Mountain Range. Ural? Not Ural, that sounds like a dirty word. I don't know why, it just does. But it's a mountain range in Russia, and for some reason, I don't remember why they were hiking it, but the point is they went out there to go hiking and stuff on a trip, and they ended up setting up camp, and they didn't come back for like a week or something, and everybody was like, where the fuck, like, they're supposed to be checking in or whatever by now? Like, so they sent out like search and rescue parties, and they find the camp, And first of all, they're all scattered in like various states of like they're like not wearing the proper clothes for being in, you know, the fucking snow, you know, 10 feet of snow or something. And a couple of them had injuries, like internal injuries, like from the car accident. And they found they were all like scattered everywhere, like they had been woken up in the middle of the night and were running from something. And to this day, it has never been solved as to what killed. Like, obviously, okay, well, they died of exposure, but to this day, they've never been able to figure out what caused those internal injuries, or why they all started running. Like, what made them leave in such a panic that they knew they were going to freeze to death?
Like, yeah, but they also wondering like how some of them were like took off their clothes to certain degrees more than others, and some
organs. Yeah, like why, like some of them were in, like they like took off their clothes as they were running. Like, it was just the whole, like, you should look up the incident. If you're listening, you should look it up. There's movies and stuff on it. But this game, Kolot, is set after the incident, and some guy is going to investigate the site of where it happened, right? So that's the premise of the game, and the character that you're playing as is voiced by Sean Bean. So naturally, it's about the Dyatlov Pass incident, you're gonna go investigate it, and you have a character voiced by Sean Bean, so you could see why I had super high hopes for it. But the execution was fucking terrible. Like, you end up with, like, this crimson horror on the mountain, and it's, like, these glowing orange guys. Like, ghosty, like, glowing orange ghosty guys that, you can't hide from, and all you can do is run from them, but you have a sprint cooldown where you can sprint for like 12 feet, and then you're like and then you gotta like panic shuffle away from these orange ghosty dudes. It's like, really? Like, the game would have been 10 times better if they'd been like, there's no bad guys or anything, there's no like ghosts or anything creepy, you just have to wander the trails, because all you have is a shitty map to guide you, and this place is like Skyrim sized open world, I swear to God, with no fast travel, so you're just walking everywhere. It would have been actually a really great game if it had just been you know walking the trails to try to find information about what happened. It would have been great if it was just kind of a walkthrough game like that, you know, because there's plenty of games that are, you know, story focused and shit like that, and they're trying to play off of the fact that you are alone at the night and there's creepy things happening, mysterious unexplained things happening, and they're playing off that, like, that you don't know what's out there, and like you're all by yourself out here, there's isolation, like you're alone the whole game. And I was like, this is great so far, and then as soon as the orange dudes show up, it's like, really? But yeah, there was just raging disappointment. I'm gonna say that, like, Sean Bean, why? Not even Sean Bean could save that game. Not even.
Well, I do know my favorite horror game ever, and it's one that you and I played, and we had our experience of the randomly joining person.
Oh, yeah. Where that guy joined as, like, that mutant horror and was, like, chasing us and trying to die. Like, trying to die. Wow. Trying to kill us. And we're like, what the fuck, bruh? I was like, I didn't even know you could play as that kind of a zombie thing. And he just shows up and is like, I'm gonna climb walls and shit. I'm like Venom, but, like, if Venom was bit by a zombie, I was like, what the shit? Yeah, that was terrible. I was like, fuck that guy. I was so mad. I was losing so many survivor points because of that fucker.
Dying Light was great, though.
That's a good ass game. I think that's, as far as like zombie apocalypse games goes, I think that's the best one out there. Like, don't at me.
By far.
I think so. That's 10 out of 10. I've played like 3 times. But I don't think I'm going to touch on like Outlast and Outlast 2 and things like that, because those are ragingly popular and everybody's going to play those at some point if they want a scary game. But I think one of the most underrated games that's not really marketed as a horror game, but it's definitely creepy and it's got like ghosts and shit in it, is Oxenfree. I'm a shill for Oxenfree. I'm sorry. I will recommend that game to people with my dying breath. I think it's one of those Life is Strange style games where each choice you make you know, affects the outcome of the game and what happens. So I don't understand why it's not more popular. People love Life is Strange. Oxenfree is equally good, if not better, because, hey, it's not sad as shit. I'm still not okay over that. I'm still not okay. That's the game that really scared me when it wasn't supposed to be a horror game, is because I had feelings. Feelings are the real horror. But, Oxenfree was good. I very much, like, it's got enough of the creepy atmosphere that you will, like, it's not downright, it's not like Outlast scary where you're like, I'm being chased, I'm gonna die. Like, you don't ever feel like you're gonna die. But there's, like, weird, creepy things that are happening where you're like, oh, that makes me uncomfortable. But I just, it's good. Like, it's a really great story and a really great game. The art is really interesting. The art is cute. The art is super cute. I think it's adorable. But it's constantly from, like, a, you know those old platformer games where you're looking at the stuff from the side angle?
Yep, like, Sackman.
Yeah, it's like that. You're looking at the whole, the characters and stuff and everything from a side angle. So it's really interesting, and then it's kind of like a cartoony, cute little art style, which I was surprised. It works with the game. It works really well, and it's, the graphics are good. It's an adorable looking game that's also super creepy. It's got that nice little balance of, you're like, this is aesthetically pleasing, and also I am frightened. And it's very rare in a game. So... you said you don't play a lot of horror games. Have you, like, watched people play them? Like, I haven't... Confession time. I like to call myself a horror game aficionado, but I've never played any of the Resident Evil games.
I played the Resident Evil 7, but only the demo on VR.
On VR? Madman. You absolute madman.
But... as someone who was introduced to you, Addy, and the rest of the community during hers and yours co-streaming work through with your everything. I mean, yeah, I watch people stream horror games. Why are you asking?
I didn't watch Resident Evil. I didn't watch her. I didn't watch anybody stream that. I mean, okay, because I didn't want to spoil it, you know, because I was like, oh, I'm going to play this game. Like, 2 years later, I still have not played that game.
Like, yeah, it doesn't look like a game
I'd want to play. It looks like a game I'd want to play. I have legit, like, 20, not 20, you know, but, like, at least 5 or 6 people that are like, hey, you should play this game. You should play this game. And I'm like, I will play that game. Has never gotten around to playing it. Has not even bought it. I told myself once I finish Prey, I will get Resident Evil 7, but I gotta finish Prey first. Prey is an excellent game. Excellent. I don't know if I'd classify it as a horror game. It's more of a survival game. I don't know, maybe it counts as a horror game?
Maybe.
Maybe. I mean, it's definitely, like, there's the aliens and shit are scary, but, like, I don't think it's meant to be, like, a horror game. It's definitely more survival, because resources are scarce, and you, like... better for me to hide than to waste my resources. So, that's a good game. It's not super scary, though. It's not to me. It's like Justine. The real fear is in dying. Losing your shit. Having to start over at a fight.
I think the best real-life adult like horror game would be like a version of Sims without cheat codes. But just like in the real world, you never have enough money.
Oh god. Too real. Too real. Oh my god. That would be terrifying, I'm not gonna lie. It's like real life horror. It's like, oh god, I'm living my existence. My existence is a nightmare.
Your boss assigns you projects, you do well, they take the credit.
Yeah. You're just like, you're like, this game is equal parts terrifying and enraging. What is, like, a super fucked up game? Like, it's not, like, it's not, it's like, I mean, it was scary or, like, creepy or whatever, but it was also, like, extremely fucked up.
I don't think I could adequately answer that.
Really?
They're all fucked up. I don't know. Which one for you? Maybe that'll...
I think I've mentioned it before. Maybe not on the podcast, but The Town of Light. Holy... Great balls of fire, dude. The premise is you're playing as an Italian girl who, weirdly enough, has a completely American accent when she talks. Strange, but I'm not gonna question it. She's goes back to the abandoned asylum that she was in, that she was committed to as a kid for, like, some crazy fucking mental health issues. So you're walking through this abandoned asylum, like, reliving memories and stuff because she's trying to figure out, like, her past and, like, what happened and whatever. And it just takes a horrifyingly dark turn. Like, you get to... Like, you know, American Horror Story is like, we're gonna sensationalize things that happen. But this is actually, like, this game is based off of real practices in, like, a mental institution in the 1940s. Like, it's real shit. And that's why it makes it so fucked up. Because it's not like they... it's not like they were like, oh, here, we're gonna, you know, make it fucked up for the sake of scaring. It was like, we're making this historically accurate, and that's what's making this game really fucked up. Like, it's dark. Like, it's super fucking dark. I think I just sat there staring at the screen for, like, my entire playthrough going, oh my god. Oh my god. Oh my god. Like, it's... I mean, I would play it again. I would. It's a good game. It's a good storyline. Like, it's... But it is... Oh boy, it is not for the faint of heart. Like, you gotta... you gotta wrap yourself in a warm blanket while you're playing it, because... It's, like, super heartbreaking. Especially the ending. The ending is sad as shit. It's dark and it's sad, and you're like, this is really not a feel-good game at all. I feel bad. I feel very bad. What is your, like, what is your favorite horror game that you've ever, like, watched or, like, played? Out of all of them that you've ever watched or played?
That I've ever watched or played? What's the one that you and Addie played?
Outlast?
You did all your Russian voices.
That's Outlast.
That has to be my favorite one, because that's just the memories with it and just the hilarity that ensued. Like, I have never honestly watched a stream and laughed and enjoyed it as much as I did then between you two. Like,
aw, my Russian accent was entertaining.
You have no idea. Like, I was literally wiping tears away from my face, like paper towels, like laughing.
Who knew I could make a horror game unscary just by virtue of reading things out loud in an accent? Also, I think I was screaming the whole time, too, because it was, like, my first time playing it.
Then hiding in the lockers, and then the unsurmountable amount of cock in the game.
Yeah, oh my god, there's so many dicks in that game. I was like, what the fuck is going on? Like, is this supposed to be the real horror? Is that you, like, you don't know who's going to be there with their dick out? Like, what is this?
Spook
up! Oh my god. I still remember, like, being so terrified of Chris Walker that I have that one thing where I was like, I'm like, my voice goes like 5 octaves higher. I was like, I found Chris Walker. And Addie's like, where? And I just started screaming, he's in the grass! He's in the grass! She's like, what the fuck does that mean? Because we were at two different points in the game. It's where he was chasing me outside in the yard. And she's like, I'm not even, she's like, what grass? Where? I just fucking yelled. That part was super terrifying. And it turned out it wasn't even Chris Walker. It was some, like, dude with a machete, so I had nothing to be worried about. But I think that's the one part I remember the most. I was just screaming about somebody in the grass. I think the one I've enjoyed watching the most, like, watching... I gotta think about that. I would say... I liked watching people play Until Dawn. I liked that. We did that one. I remember we played that game. Where you made all the good decisions, all the logical decisions, and I was like, pick the worst decision possible and go with that.
Yeah, and I became jealous of you because you were trying to kill that annoying.
I was trying to, you're like, I have to suffer through her. You gonna try to offer immediately because you're making all the bad decisions. I was trying to throw off a cliff and it didn't work. I was like, God damn it.
But I slowly realized that that was probably the good decision, and the bad decision was letting her live.
Yeah. We were like, wait a second. Wait a minute. But I actually enjoyed that game. I mean, I'm not really like playing it so much, but I enjoy like watching it because I like seeing how other people make the decisions, and like, because you get to see how somebody's brain works. You know, when you're playing that, you're like, oh, I would make this decision, but they're, you know, doing something completely different. So, I forgot. I'm gonna give a shout out to like two games that are fucking great. One of them I haven't finished. One of them broke my heart and blew my mind at the same time. So the one that I haven't finished is Alien Isolation. You play that bitch with mic detection, it is an experience. I got stuck on a part, so I haven't gone back to it. And it's weird, because it's like four it's like four people like are trying to chase me, and I have to sneak through like something. And like, I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do to be able to get through that part. So I'm just kind of, instead of like Googling, you know, a walkthrough or something, I just gave up. So I haven't gone back to it. But if you play it with mic detection, it's a whole nother layer of heart pounding, because then it's like, if you're one of those people who like yells or makes noises when you're scared, like you have to, it makes it a lot more immersive, you know? Because when the xenomorph shows up, like you actually have to be quiet. Like you're actually in that situation. It's pretty great. I think that was a great feature they enabled. And of course, you know, they made the algorithm so every time you play, the xenomorph's moves are different. It's completely randomized. So you can't, like every time you play it, it shows up at different parts. It does things differently. Yeah, so they actually did that game pretty brilliantly. And I don't know why it's not more popular, because it's, maybe because it's terrifying when that happens, because it's realistic enough. Like you can't, you know how like at some horror games, if you played it, you know, the first time, you kind of make mental notes and you can like avoid shit the next time around, you know what you're expecting.
Yeah.
You don't get that with the xenomorph in Alien Isolation. It is completely randomized. You have no idea what the fuck you're gonna get into. And then you're gonna know this next game that I'm gonna give a mention to, the one that broke my heart and blew my mind at the same time. It's Hellblade.
Oh my god.
Hellblade. Yep. Oh, that is such a good game. It's so sad, and it's so dark and creepy and everything. And everything in there is a symbolism for something else. And I'm just gonna say it's a good game. I don't want to spoil anything, but it's worth playing. And I don't think I really truly understood things until I played it through my second time, and I was like, oh my god, everything is symbolic of something else. Everything is symbolism. Like that's how I'm gonna sum up the game. Except for the part where you kill those two gods. That's just killing things. It's not really symbolic of anything. But hell, it's a really good trip into Norse mythology. I learned a lot. But thanks for doing this episode with me and talking about, specifically listening to my rant about the park, which will definitely be repeated at some point in the future, because that's like the horror game version of Halo 5 for me. I genuinely hate it. I genuinely hate it. It's fucking
terrible. For any new people, if Kath ever compare... You can cut that out, oopsie.
I always find a way to bring in Halo in every episode. It's a recurring theme. So somehow there will be a Halo reference. Some way, somehow.
Absolutely.
It's like the Easter egg. Where's the Halo reference? Sometimes it'll be subtle, sometimes it won't. But this was fun. We have special plans for another episode at some point that are in the works. Special plans. I'm not gonna say it right now, but just know it's special and I have plans. That's the important part. So #, coming soon to video and DVD. No, I'm kidding. Not video and DVD. But yeah. This is the end of the podcast.